Somebody from the Bayou we know and love, Carlo Broussard. You're out actually in San Diego, right?
That's right. There ain't no bayous over here, brother.
So the Cajun Apologist joins us our Tuesday morning get-together. We find out more about your book. This is actually, Carlo Broussard is visiting with us, and he's been going chapter by chapter through his book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And today we continue on with Chapter 10. You really baited the hook last weekend, or last week rather. So where are we heading today?
Yeah, so in chapter 10, Jeff and Paul, I deal with what is called the problem of divine hiddenness. Hmm. It's sort of a subspecies of the problem of evil, which we talked about in our previous segments together. But the problem of divine hiddenness is basically when an atheist says, or an agnostic says, you know what, if God existed, then he would at least see to it that I am convinced that he exists and that he would provide me with absolute evidence that removes all doubt. But since he doesn't do that, then he must not exist.
Oh.
And so it's the idea of God not manifesting himself to me in such a way that I know without a doubt that he exists, because he knows I'm an honest inquirer, and he knows that if I knew he existed, then I would give my life over to him and I would live my life for him.
Hmm.
But since he hasn't done that, well, then I have good reason to think he doesn't exist. So how do we respond to this?
Okay,
well,
yeah.
Jeff, what I point out in the book in Strategy 1, I think the first thing we have to let our friend know in conversation is that, listen, God is not bound to give us absolute indubitable evidence, and that's just some highfalutin terminology for evidence evidence that removes all doubt whatsoever, all possible doubt.
Yeah.
Really, all he needs to give us is intellectual indubitable evidence, and that is evidence that would exclude prudent doubt. Consider this example, Jeff and Paul. Listen, a man who's fixing to marry his fiancée, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have evidence that excludes all possible doubt whether she loves him or not.
Hmm.
All right? Because anything she does, it could be meant to deceive him into thinking that she loves him, right? So
yeah.
He doesn't have that kind of evidence. But he does have evidence that excludes prudent doubt that, you know, whether she loves him or not. And so based upon that kind of evidence, it's reasonable for him to go ahead and marry her, even though he doesn't have evidence that excludes all possible doubt. Similarly, God doesn't need to give us that kind of evidence in order for us to live our life for him that would exclude all possible doubt. He just needs to give us evidence that would exclude prudent doubt, because we are rational beings and we're not supposed to act on blind impulses of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this demand that God give us the type of evidence that would exclude all possible doubt, that's just unreasonable. Now, for argument's sake, a theist, somebody who believes in God, you know, from the classical tradition, could argue that God has given us that type of evidence. And the problem is not with the evidence itself on an objective level.
Yeah.
But the problem could be with the individual who fails to see the truth of the evidence due to intellectual deficiencies or maybe even ill will. So the problem wouldn't be with God and the evidence that he's given us. The problem would be with the individual, due to intellectual deficiencies, fails to see the truth of the evidence. And if that individual were to see the truth of the evidence, well, then he would assent to that truth. But then, of course, this brings up the question, well, okay, well, maybe I'm deficient in my intellectual capabilities of seeing the truth of God, of the evidence for God. So why doesn't God enhance my intellectual capabilities? Why doesn't he just zap me to where I have a light and see the truth, and then my will would follow? And so this is what I answer this question in Strategies 2 and 3. And here's what I say in Strategy 2.
Okay.
Listen. It is possible God could give us a grace and make his existence known to my intellect in a way that I could no longer doubt it whatsoever, and it wouldn't involve any effort on my part. But rational inquiry, which involves effort on my part, like I'm going to have to use my canoggin to think about things, right, and come to know things, right? That's a good thing. That's a unique form of knowledge that's peculiar to us as human beings. You see, like, for example, Jeff and Paul, mm-hmm. when God created the angels, he infused knowledge within them. They don't have to, like, think through things and reason and experience okay. things and infer things. They just know things. God gives them that knowledge. And God could have did that to us, but we would have been angels. He yeah. made us as human beings. And as human beings, as body, soul, composite mm-hmm. unities, right? We have to come to know things through experience. We experience things, then we think about those things, and we make judgments, and we reason, you know, premise one, premise two, conclusion, etc. And that's a unique mode of knowledge that belongs to the nature of a human being. So think about this.
All right.
Wouldn't it belong to God's goodness and wisdom to will that we discover truth, especially the truth about his own existence, mm-hmm. according to our unique mode of knowledge, which is rational inquiry? And I think that's reasonable. So God's going to relate to us in accord with the nature that he gave us, allowing us to discover the truth about him instead of just forcing it on us and giving us the truth without any effort on our part. So the bottom line is that there's something human about the quest for truth. And that's a nobility. That's a great nobility, as Pope St. John Paul II stated, to men and women there falls the task of exploring the truth with their reason. And in this, their nobility consists. Mm. So you might think of the argument like this, guys. Okay. God wills whatever is good for man. Rational inquiry, thinking about things using your canoggin, right? Mm-hmm. Putting forth some effort.
Yeah.
Rational inquiry is good for man. And therefore, God wills rational inquiry. And of course, inasmuch as rational inquiry includes the possibility of falling short of the truth, well, then it's no surprise that some people are going to fall short of seeing the truth about God. But rational inquiry is a good thing, and God wills that good thing. And so that's strategy two. And then finally, in strategy three, I think there's something to be said, Jeff and Paul, uh-huh. for having to work through the problem. Mm-hmm. in order to come to certain knowledge at the end. Remember your days in math class?
Yeah.
What would your math teacher always tell you? Show your work, right? You remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
And how many times we always wanted to just look in the back of the book and get the answer,
right? Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the math teacher would never accept that because she wanted us to show our work. Why? Because we learned better by going through the
Carlo, are you still there?
I am here.
Okay, we lost you just briefly. We got about 30 seconds.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, the point being is that it's better to work through the steps in order to getting the answer at the end of the book. So too, God wills that we work through intellectually to come to know the truth about him wow. so that our knowledge of him will be more certain and our experience of that knowledge will be more joyful.
Oh, that's rich. That's rich. That's high calorie here for breakfast, man. I love that. Carlo, where can we get the book?
They can go to shop.catholic.com, and that's Prepare the Way Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church.
Wow, what a terrific apologetic work, and we are so grateful for you, Carlo.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always a joy, my friend.
All right, my friend. And yes, we'll talk to you again next week.
Indeed.
All righty.